I had no idea. I had no intentions for it to be a career of mine and open a business. It was just what I needed to do, and I was absolutely fine about it.
Welcome to a new episode of Most Memorable Journeys. My guest today is a very successful businesswoman, and she has come a very, very long way. She is the owner of UKG Care, but she has done something completely different before she did that. Welcome to Most Memorable Journeys, Natasha Waldron.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I love the way you say it. You and I have actually shared a room in Albania. I think this is worth mentioning, talking about most memorable journeys. And do you realize that that was already 5 years ago?
I can't believe how long ago that was. Amazing, yeah. Isn't it? Gosh, time has flown.
Did you ever go back to Albania since then?
No, I haven't. But if I do, I definitely want to take you with me.
Tell me, Natasha, you started off as a ballerina and as a very, very young ballerina. How old were you when you started?
Mum took me to my first ballet school when I was age 3. And I loved it. And I used to do lots of festivals, and I was very good at it, and I enjoyed it. And I think that was the one thing that took me on my journey, was how much I enjoyed it. But at the age of 11, there was over 2,000 of us that auditioned for the Royal Ballet Lower School, and only 20 was accepted, and I was one of the 20. So I was very privileged to be able to attend White Lodge Royal Ballet School. So professionally at the age of 11.
Amazing. So out of those 2,000, you were one of the 20 out of the 2,000 who were chosen.
Were you young
when you started? Did you stay at home? Did you live at home, or were you out of your home then?
So it was a boarding school in Richmond Park. So it's the first time leaving home. Obviously mum was very much of, oh, you're not going to go, are you? And I was like, yeah, this sounds so exciting. It was very different life boarding, in Richmond Park. So yeah, definitely. It was definitely, a good starter of my life. Yeah.
It's a lot of discipline, though, isn't it? I think that probably helps you in what you do for the rest of your life, because being a ballerina is a lot of very hard work.
Yeah, absolutely. And the discipline, really, they started us off at the age of 11. Everything was very punctual, everything we had to do. It was a good schooling for later on in my journey. And I think without that discipline, I could be all over the place. But that's what I appreciate very much. That's what I've taken from. And it's helped in business.
Mm-hmm. Did you travel with the Royal Ballet?
We did. So we traveled around the UK, first of all. And then I had the privilege to go to Japan with them. So that was exciting. So that was back in 1991. We toured to Japan. Yeah. And came back with lots of electronics back then.
That must have been an amazing experience. I mean, you were young when you did that. Had you traveled much with your parents as a child?
To Spain. So we did a lot of that. On holiday, but Japan was something that, yeah, I couldn't believe it. And to be with the Royal Ballet Company as well, performing La Bayadère, we performed. That's the one that sticks in my head more than anything else.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, that's something that you probably will remember for the rest of your life and can probably feel it when you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have... I've I had the opportunity to travel all over the world. But yeah, the first place in my ballet career was Japan. So it kind of put it on a kind of a high level for me to say, okay, well, if this is what I can do, there is so much more I can do.
What would be a place for a ballerina? Like, is there a dream that every ballerina has where she would like to dance? Is there some place, you know, if you've been there, you've made it?
So I would say Russia is one of those places. And I had the opportunity to perform with in the Mariinsky Theatre, where ballet actually started. So for us to go in there and perform and to kind of feel the energy and the atmosphere and to be, you know, backstage. And it felt like nothing really had changed. It was amazing. And the everybody had to work really hard because they didn't have all the modern technology. It was still very much back in the days of maybe when they started. So it was a lot of hard work, not just for us, but for also the technicians. And the stage is very much raked. So it's not a flat stage. It's very much, it goes down. And so for us, when we're performing and we have to change the way we work with our own bodies and where our balance is and where, so yeah, it was very, very different. Exciting, but a lot of hard work as well.
Yeah. And talking about hard work, did you ever, during the time that you were dancing, did you ever think, I can't do this anymore? I am done. I'm exhausted. You know, or did you give up? Or how did you end your career?
I had made a pact with myself because I had seen so many people leave the ballet world, whether it was because of an injury or because of age. But a lot of people left the ballet world because I think feeling very unhappy, very bitter. And for them, when I saw them like outside and what they were doing, they weren't happy. And it was like, oh, that's, I don't want that. I want to be able to leave the ballet world, my career, being on a high, loving it still. And that was kind of, that was the agreement that I had made with myself. If at one point I was being very negative and my mindset wasn't there and it was really tough and hard, was okay, before I got too deep in that feeling, it was okay, Natasha, it's time to leave now. And it got to that point when I was in my mid-30s that I had my one and only bad injury that I found it very, very hard to come back. And it took a lot of mental energy as well as physical energy to kind of get my body going. And I realized that I was in pain and I was hurting too much. My body was hurting and mentally I wasn't there. So it was like, okay, this is the time now. I'm aware. This is the time that it's time for me to hang my shoes up. But in the ballet world, you have to give, or we did in Hamburg Ballet, we had to give a year's advance, so a year's notice. So I decided, okay, well, this is it. I went into my director, John Neumar's office, and I said, this is my decision. I'm stepping away. I'm ending my career. He was completely shocked with that decision, but it felt right for me. And so for then, I was able to go, okay, I have a year now to just enjoy it and say goodbye to all the repertoires and characters that I played and et cetera. So I, at the end of me leaving, I was on such a high and I loved every minute of it. So I was so pleased that it was kind of like me closing that chapter of my life, but I did it
in style. Yes,
exactly.
That is so beautiful. And you know what? I have exactly the same experience because I was a tour guide and I had exactly the same thing. I used to see older people doing this and knowing, I knew that they were not enjoying it anymore, but they didn't know how to end it. And I had exactly the same pact with myself. I thought I'm going to stop as long as it's fun. And I did. And I remember putting down that microphone on the last trip in Los Angeles on the way to the airport. And I thought, this is it. And, you know, enjoying it until the end. I think it's important to know when it's time to change.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And I know for us dancers, it is so, you know, in other professions as well, but it is very scary. It's been your life. You never thought it was going to end and you're not prepared for anything else. And you're in a bubble and you're then stepping out of this bubble and it's like stepping outside into the outside world and you don't know anything. So we kind of cling on to what we do know and we cling on to probably for too long because we just don't want to make that step. So, yeah, so I was very aware of that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I'm here now to also help those people to make that transition as well of, you know, being through it.
It's kind of being in the limelight and then suddenly becoming an ordinary person. And that is quite hard to swallow, I think, at the beginning. It's kind of surreal.
Yeah, it is. And I don't think I realized how much I missed the stage until I've been going out speaking on the stage. And it just feels, my body feels so like, oh, we're home again. Yeah, I didn't realize how much I had missed it.
Yeah. So here we are. That's the perfect transition to what I want to talk to you about, because I met you when you were not a ballerina, but I met you when you were talking on the stage. I met you because of Global Woman, the Global Woman Club. Thank you, Mirella, for getting us together. I always have this little shout out to Mirella because there's quite a few people on my podcast that I met because of the Global Woman Club. You were talking in Albania, when I was doing my director's training, you were a guest and you were talking about your business because in the meantime, you had started a very successful company. What company did you start and how?
It's kind of an interesting story, I think. Obviously, when I left the Bali world, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And with no education and nothing to kind of back me up, I was kind of wandering slightly. And with that, I needed to get some extra money. So I started cleaning for people and started cleaning for my friends. And with that, I had referrals. And with those referrals, gave me more work. And I then started to employ my partner. And we started doing that together. And then within a year or so later, I had 50 staff members. Something that I wasn't kind of, it was just kind of to help me get through a stage in my life to work out what I wanted to do, but I needed extra money, turned out to be a full-blown business. So it was a real learning curve of entrepreneurship, of business, of, you know, payroll, of marketing, everything. And it was a bit of a whirlwind as such. But we became a very successful company. And yeah, it led on then to me opening a care company, UKG Care, and later then a training program or training company. And so, yeah, it's kind of rolled on, should I say. And I can't wait to know what else I'm going to create.
I think there is something in the pipeline, but we'll talk about it later. but I want to come back to that moment when you were a ballerina on world stages in Japan, in Russia, in Hamburg, I don't know where else. And then...
Oh, South America.
Yeah, the world.
China.
Yes. And then, Natasha, you were a cleaner. You were cleaning people's houses. How did you feel?
I was actually fine about it. It was something that I needed to do. Who had a hard time about it was my friends, because they were like, well, we can't, you know, you can't come in and we can't employ you to clean, or we can't have you in to clean. You're a ballerina. They were the ones that had more of an issue than I did, because I'd already put the ballet career to bed. It was done. And it was me trying to figure out where I was going and what I was going to do. And for me, I had no idea. I had no intentions for it to be a career of mine and open a business. It was just what I needed to do. And I was absolutely fine about it.
I think that's a sign of very great character. And I also think that we should never feel that we are too good for something, because sometimes when it's necessary to do certain things, you just go ahead and do them. And you never know what it leads to. And in your case, it led to a very successful business.
It did. And I was, you know, I no longer have the business anymore, but I was very proud of the business and I was very proud of what we had achieved and what I had achieved, not knowing anything at all. And the staff were all amazing. And yeah, it was a real learning curve, but a very enjoyable one.
If you're saying that you don't have the business anymore, did you sell the business?
I actually gave my business away to my staff.
Oh, wow. I did not know that I didn't know that. Tell me more.
So it got to a point where I had moved on, and it wasn't exciting for me. And I felt like that I was moving on doing other things. And so I could see that there were, you know, we were bringing in managers, but the passion behind it wasn't there anymore. So I decided, what am I going to do? I can either sell it or just let it fizzle out or what? And I knew I wasn't doing any good for it. And I knew myself was suffering. And so in the end, I was like, well, what am I going to do? And I thought, will I find the right person if I sold it? Maybe everybody will leave. What will be left of it? And so in the end, you know, one morning I woke up and I was like, well, my staff are so amazing. What can I do? I was like, I want to be out of it as quickly as possible. So I spoke to my staff I decided, okay, I would chop it up in little pieces and they would have their clients. And nothing would change too much for them. We helped them with making sure that they got the right insurances, that everything with HMRC was all, they were legit and it was all above board. And I spoke to the clients and I said, this is what I'm going to do. So you're going to have the same person that comes and cleans your office, your home or whatever. It's going to be the same regular person. It's just now that you're going to be paying them. Will you be okay with this? And they were like, oh my God, absolutely. So within 2 weeks, I was no longer working with UKG Cleaning, did not exist. And my girls and my staff were so happy. And it's so nice because still some of them are still, they still have their clients. They still have the companies that they are cleaning. And it's just great. And they're self-employed.
And you did it the Natasha Waldron way, didn't you? Typical. Amazing. No, I did not know that. That is news to me. So tell me, what is in the pipeline? I have seen recently, because I know from the times when we used to go to conferences, you were on stage, you were a very good speaker, but you didn't think it yourself. What changed? Because I can see now that you are putting yourself a little bit out there.
What changed? I turned 50.
Is that it? Happy birthday.
I turned 50. I did also have a bit of a scare last year. And you know what? I just thought there's so many dreams that I've had that I haven't delved into. And I thought, you know what? It's time. What am I fearful of? Why am I so scared to do things when I have accomplished so much and I'm so proud of what I've accomplished, but I could actually probably accomplish a lot more. And so after looking after everybody else, I feel like now I want to kind of jump in and enjoy life and enjoy and experience the dreams that I once had. Yeah.
So you want to share your story in a way that you want to motivate other people.
Oh, absolutely. I think everything that I do is to inspire people and to help people along. Sometimes I think we all forget that we need the help ourselves first. I'm at this point where I enjoy what I'm doing. I love and like the way I feel. So I think if I have so much more love for myself, I can give so much love. And I think my energy at the moment is showing that I am happy with myself.
I love all those pictures on social media. May I ask, because you mentioned before dreams that you had, are you willing to share any of those dreams with me?
So for me, I am now, as one of my dreams is always to be a model. I never had the height for it, but they've opened and expanded the red tape. And so it's me now becoming a mature model. Anyone above 35 apparently is mature. So
I'm very mature.
And this is where I'm stepping into, and I'm loving the process. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone, but I am enjoying it, and I'm just so excited where this journey is going to take me. And with that, I want to be able to also, my other part is I really want to help dancers, former dancers and athletes, also transition into something that they find a passion for outside of what they've been doing, because I never knew you could have two passions. I always thought you had one passion and that was it, because I had dedicated my whole life to ballet and did everything. This was my passion, this was my love, this was my life. And so when I left the ballet world, I never thought I would have anything like that, and I didn't think it was possible at all. It was just, I was a very narrow-minded mindset, I guess, when I look back. But actually, you know, being an entrepreneur and helping others, and now being wanting to become a model, it's just these passions that I have that is now driving me forward. And I want to be able to share with other former athletes and dancers that you can have this too, and how to search for it, and where we are looking within, and how to kind of just, you know, get it out and also go with the flow and enjoy the journey. Because I think how many journeys have we had? How many chapters have we had? It's just so, like, there are so many more for us to take, and we need to do it with the love and the kindness and the enthusiasm and the encouragement. And yeah. So,
oh my God, you are definitely my kind of girl, because I love all this. I'm much older than you, but I have so many passions still that I want to live. And there is so much wisdom in what you just said, that we don't have to have just one passion. And I think sometimes passions have an expiry date, whether it's because of being an athlete or a dancer. It's age, you know, there's a certain moment when your body cannot do that anymore. And I think it's fascinating to be able to say, okay, that was my passion. I completed it and I finished it when I was at my best, when I felt good. Next, on to the next one. And the other thing also, the other part that I took out of this past thing that you said is, it's never, ever too late to start something new and to start a new passion. And I think that you are the kind of person who will motivate people to just keep going, and I will not be surprised at all if I would say, moving from the theater, what do you call it, the ballet stage, what do you call that, the place where you danced, the stage, yeah, in your case it's moving from the stage to the catwalk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I feel there's so much more for me to give, and I'm excited to see what opens up in this journey of mine.
Well, so am I. I am very excited for you now. I'm afraid I wanted to mention here that you need more Instagram followers, but it's too late because your deadline is by the time this will air, your deadline will be done. But we always need more Instagram followers, and we were going to put your Instagram handle in the show notes.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
And so because we're talking about most memorable journeys, let's just do a little bit of travel talk before we end this episode. Do you have, apart from your traveling with the Royal Ballet, what journeys do you feel were most memorable for you?
I guess all my traveling that I have done is through the ballet as such. And so my traveling was through from theater to theater to theater. So from like being at the Paris Opera, I think mine is more the backstage. So whenever we traveled, the backstage was like my home as such. So it is a different kind of, even though, you know, we went to these amazing countries, we didn't unfortunately be able to see so much because we were backstage. And like for when we went to Paris, we did Swan Lake for 3 weeks every single day. So we lived basically in the theatre. What was so lovely in the south of France is, and in Greece, we were in the open theatres. So performing where you can actually be outside in the amphitheatre is just a different vibe. And the scenery that you get and the backstage of what it's like, it's just outside. And it's just, that was just so, so perfect in a way, because you were in nature and you were still doing something that you absolutely loved, surrounded by these amazing and entwining in these amazing buildings and being part of it and part of the past and history. To being in the theatre in São Paulo, where actually whatever you did, you had security with you because it was so unsafe. All these experiences, just going to the theater in these different countries, just brought up so many different energies and experiences, that something so simple can be so different in every place you go to.
Are there places that you sometimes think back to where you were just living in the theater and you feel that you would like to go back to this place and see it from outside the stage, from outside the theater? Is there anything special in your life?
Yeah, definitely. So I can't remember. There's a beautiful place in Italy that I keep meaning to want to go back to. It was just so divine. But I have this image, and I don't think if I did go back, I don't know if it would meet my expectations of how I remembered it, should I say. Yeah. So that's something that I think I kind of want to put to one side. But yeah.
Amazing. Now, question, because we also have ancient theatres here in Cyprus. Have you ever been to Cyprus?
No, we never went to Cyprus. We were never invited.
Well, I'm inviting you now. And I'm sure we can find some catwalk somewhere, some fashion show somewhere. The only thing is, don't become too famous yet, because we may not be able to afford you by the time that we are ready to invite you.
Oh, bless you. No, Cyprus is a place I would like to go. Certainly since we've met. But yes, for us, for touring, was all the places that people had invited us to. So we were very privileged in that way of how I've experienced and seen the world. So it's been a different viewing, shall I say, something that I'm very proud to have seen. And I would never have gone to those countries, I don't think, as a holiday or anything like that. I'm very, very grateful. I'm grateful.
Fascinating, fascinating. We're coming to the end. I always enjoy talking to you so much. I could go on forever. But I am so excited for you. And I am so, so very much looking forward to what's to come. And I am very closely following you everywhere. And I want to thank you for being on Most Memorable Journeys today. Thank you very much, Natasha.
No, not at all. Thank you for having me. And I'm always following you too. So we shall see what happens
together. Thank you.
Take care.
If you enjoy my podcast, please like, share, and subscribe to my channel. You will find all the information in the show notes.